first of all, I'd like to say welcome to the call. My name is Jeremy Moore. And again, I'd like to welcome you all to tonight's Legal Shield Morse 16 conference call. We've got a fantastic call lined up for you all tonight. One decided to hear about what a awesome time to be involved with Legal Shield. Some absolutely phenomenal things to call company. Just a couple of quick housekeeping items to remind you all of. The home office will be accepting applications online.
Presentation mode is now enabled.
June 31st. So, it's not really, it's now time to buckle down to make sure each and every one of you get your player club points in, get those counters in the system so that we can all get our advances and promotions and get going in your business so that you can carry as much momentum as possible into next month into the International Convention in Oklahoma City. I'm going to go, Deb, did you get back online?
Yes, I'm on.
All right, well, I'm going to quit talking and go straight out to Durant, Oklahoma, to a Platinum Executive Director, Millionaire Club Member, Six-Figure Income Earner. But most importantly, is my dad, and that's Mr. Randy Moore. Dad?
Thank you, Jeremy. First of all, I want to let everyone know that this Saturday, March 31st, at Legal Shield's home office in Ada, Oklahoma, we're going to have a special Platinum Showcase. We'll be featuring 7 current or previous Platinum Executive Directors, and most of them on our More Success team. That event will go from 10 until 2, and the admission is free. So we want to invite everyone that's anywhere close to Oklahoma to come. I know we've got people from Kansas and Texas and different surrounding states, but this is the first event like this that we've ever had, and you're going to be hearing from Ken, Randy, and Jeremy Moore, of course, along with Miss Linda Bowden, Mr. Ron Kite, and Mr. Ron Hale. And you truly do not want to miss out on this event. I also want to remind everyone about the importance of attending the upcoming International Legal Shield Convention in Oklahoma City. People ask me all the time, what is the single one thing that I can do to make sure that I have success in Legal Shield? And I always tell them, you have to be at our main event, which, of course, is the International Convention. You've got to be there to grasp just how big this opportunity is, and no one can tell you. You have to just be there. You have to experience it for yourself. Of course, while you're there, we'll be having 2 More Success Team events. First, there's going to be a party when you can mix and mingle with team members from all over North America. That's going to be on Thursday night after the Executive Director Banquet. It will begin at 9 and go until about 1 a.m. All the Executive Directors will be joining the party after the Executive Director Banquet is over. There will be a DJ and dancing at the party. The dance will be at the convention center in room number 10, and there is no cost. It's free to attend, so we just want to make it a nice time. It won't cost anybody while you're there. Also, we're going to be having a More Success Team breakout session on Friday between the sessions 1 and 2, and it's at the Sheraton Hotel, which is right across the street from the convention center, in the Century Ballroom, and the breakout is from 3:30 to 6:30, and it's going to include an awards and recognition ceremony. And if you haven't registered for the breakout yet, you just need to go to our website, which is www.moresuccessteam.com. Get registered today. We're going to be giving out our More Success Team ribbons that you'll be able to wear on your name tags, and also this year you're going to get bracelets. More Success Team bracelets that you'll be able to wear and proudly display while you're at the convention. But now to introduce tonight's special guest speakers, I want to go to Ada, Oklahoma, to an original Millionaire Club member now in his 28th year with Legal Shield. Of course, he's the leader of our More Success Team, and that is Mr. Ken Moore. Mr. Moore, are you on the call?
Oh, yes, Randy, I'm right here. And, we forgot one important platinum there, Miss Millie Baker. Millie's went through everything from brain surgery to open heart surgery, still not knocking down in her spare time a couple of $100,000 a year, and that's not a bad retirement, Randy. No telling what she could have done if she hadn't become ill, but she will be there.
I had a name down. I apologize for that, for not saying that. But, yeah, she's definitely a big part of that.
That's okay. Last time I had to apologize to Linda Bowden because I didn't say her name. But, Randy, tonight we got some folks that I'm telling you, these are such wonderful folks. They're always willing to help somebody else's team. They're always willing to step up. They're a world of information. They're a delight to be around. They're a delight to listen to. And I think if anybody misses a call tonight, they just missed some tips that would help them be even more successful. So it's my honor tonight, you know, Randy, introduce these folks, you know, Platinum 2 jacket earners, recognized for making $300,000 a year, Millionaire Club members, founders of Players Club, and, of course, Frank Acorn's entrepreneur and business owner, recipient of the Business Person of the Year Award for Charleston, South Carolina, for South Carolina. Teresa, of course, is master in education, taught school 8 years before she involved in the business. I think she quit teaching school to train Frank. I'm not quite sure about that. I might have just thrown it in, but it sounds good. She's also a certified nutritious counselor. And I guess what I'm trying to say, Randy, if these people are not just good, down-to-earth, honest people, but they're just fine friends, and they're the kind of people you want to be around, they're the kind of people you want to know, they're the kind of people that steps up when you need stepping up. It's an honor and an extreme privilege to introduce Frank and Teresa Coyne to our call tonight.
Well, thank you so much. This is Teresa, and I'll speak first, and I'll turn it over to Frank. And wow, Mr. Moore, and all your wives and families and team, it is a huge honor for us to be asked to be on your call tonight. Y'all are icons in the industry. It is amazing. I mean, your story, I want to sit on the call and listen to y'all talk, but I know you asked us to be on tonight, but we love it when we get to hear from you on stage at the conventions and on calls and everything. You just, in every manner, exemplify role models for the entire field force. And you've got such great leaders on your team, too. So thank you so much for asking us tonight. I'm going to spend a few minutes talking with everybody. I'm going to begin talking, actually, about attitude, because I think attitude drives us all. I mean, I know it does me, and I really suspect it does for most everybody. I mean, if you wake up with a nasty attitude, it's hard to have a good day. If you wake up with a great attitude, you're going to have a good day. But sometimes, you know, we need to be sensitive, I think I do, to really what determines, you know, our attitude. I know some of you, there's leaders on this call. You mentioned Millie Baker, and I heard Tracy Cooksey. I mean, they've had health issues that, you know, have give them every reason to be negative or despondent and things like that, but you don't see that. You see their bright faces and you see their determination, and it's so impressive.
There are currently 88 participants in your conference.
Do it, no matter what attitude, whether it's the business or relationships we're working on or all of the above. And I know one thing, there's kind of like a bad news, good news thing, I think, when it comes to attitude. We can't control our attitude. I mean, if we have a crummy attitude, you can't just say, okay, I'm going to have a good attitude. I mean, you might say that. It might help a little bit, but, authentically changing it, you can fake it until you make it, but we're really faking out ourselves. I mean, it really, you know, what gives us the ability to have a great attitude? Where does it come from? And I think it comes from input. It simply comes from what we're putting in our brains. I mean, if we watch the news all the time and listen to the radio all the time and all the trashy music and all the negative news, and, you know, it's hard to have a good attitude. And I have to limit how much of that I let myself be around. And everything affects us. I mean, every friend and non-friend that we're around, everything affects our attitude. And so I want to talk about controlling it for just a minute. Number one, the number one way I believe that we can control, or one of the ways, I'm going to give you several ways, three different ways, that we can control the input, what goes in. If we can control what goes in, then we can have a better attitude to accomplish what we want. And number one is personal development. I mean, it is one of our 10 core commitments, and so, you know, what are we doing about that? I know for myself personally, when I'm not listening to a good CD, when I'm not reading a good book, I can tell a distinct difference in my attitude, and I would think that that's very similar for most people. So that constant flow of personal development, the Jim Rohn, the John Maxwell, you know, How to Win Friends and Think and Grow Rich, and right now our team is reading The Magic of Thinking Big by David Schwartz. I mean, all those constantly, whether it's just a page that we read every day or just 10 minutes that we listen to every day. Hopefully, you know, it's 10 pages a day, and it's 15 or 20 minutes that we're listening to every day. The more, the better. The second way we can control the input is just the people that we're around the most. I mean, that's why, I mean, sometimes you can't control that. Sometimes you're in a work environment if you're still working, or you can't control that so much. But being conscious of it, you know, does help a whole lot. And you can control the people you're around to some extent. And so if you make personal development an integral part of your life, you are controlling this in a manner just through that. Because maybe you know, it's not a real person that you can shake hands with in front of you, but that person, that Jim Rohn on the CD or the John Maxwell that you're reading, I mean, that becomes part of your circle of influence. It becomes part of the people that you are around the most. So that's important. And so there's another reason for personal development. And number three is, and this is what I really want to talk about tonight, is the most impactful thing that we can do in our legal show business is to get ourselves and our team to the events. And I'm so glad you started out talking about this tonight because, you know, this is where we can get the most positive input in the shortest amount of time. So why wouldn't we do that? And it's away from all of our daily distractions. There's nothing as powerful as a convention to help our attitude long term. I have seen people go to conventions who, you know, go into the convention with, you know, poor me, my business is not going anywhere, I'm plateaued and all of that. They come out, and I've seen a person come out of the convention and go right to executive director within 2 months, who had hardly done anything beforehand. So it is the turn on, it's the light switch for ourselves personally. And there, I want to give you five things. And I know some of you on the call tonight have not committed to go to the convention. You have a lot of reasons why not to, but I want to give you five reasons why to go. Why? Because I know tonight, of all the things that we can talk about, and for me personally, I know if I can convince even one more person on the MORE team, the MORE Success team, to attend that event, then I've accomplished a lot tonight. Because even one person can make a huge difference long term in their business and in the number of people that they're going to touch through the business. So here's five reasons that you want to be there. Number one, your team who is with you there learns with you. So that's why you want to make sure you get as many on your team there. There's no time delay, no diminishing return. Whoever's there with you, they're going to learn it firsthand. And you don't have to reteach it. I mean, imagine if all your team was there. Wow, I mean, and then there's a belief building aspect of it. I mean, how valuable is that? A belief in everything about the business. So having your team there to learn with you, to build belief with you is major. Number two, big events are where big decisions are made. So you always leave a convention, yourself and your team, with bigger desires because you see people on stage. You know if they can do it, you can do it. You get that. So you don't get that anywhere else like you get at a convention. You're going to see deaf people who are successful. You're going to see blind people who are successful. You're going to see people who are handicapped in many ways. You're going to see, you know, people from every background who are successful. And so when you see that, it helps your belief really build in yourself. So you can make big decisions, and you're going to make bigger decisions at major events. If you never go to a major event, you may never make a major decision in the company. You may never make a real major decision in your business because you won't really get it full. You just have to be there to get the full strength of everything. Number three, you're going to learn how to do the business better. We always do. I mean, one idea that helps you approach people better, that helps you increase your retention, that helps you turn on the recruiting momentum, just one idea that helps you in any aspect of the business, it's going to have a major impact on the future of your success in the company. So learning how to do the business better is a huge benefit of being there. Number four, you're going to leave the event a stronger and better person. I mean, because of the law of association, you're going to be around hundreds and thousands, literally, of positive, forward-thinking people. Your faith, your belief in the system that we all use is going to be stronger. You're going to have more confidence in it, more belief in the process. And that is huge because if you can relax and believe in the system and the process that we all use, you know, from, you know, keeping, not saying too much when we approach people, for, you know, building the relationship first, for you know, using Dave Seville's three steps to you know, get somebody to look at the information and to do three-way calls afterwards and the follow-up. I mean, the system that we learn, the PBRs and the PCCs, all that. When you see that it's really what people really do to be successful, It is huge, because then you're more confident in it yourself. And number five, you're going to be able to define your goals in a much more clear way. I mean, it's simply going to be easier to move forward. It's like the light shines brightly in your future. You know where you're going. You can clarify it. You can see it. You can visualize it. It becomes real to you, so your goals become so much more clear. You know, in our trainings, we always tell associates there are three predictors of your success, and I know y'all heard this a million times. Number one is your burning desire. Number two is being coachable. Number three is being willing to work. And those are the internal predictors of your success. See, I can't see that. When I look at your face, I don't know how big your burning desire is. I don't know how coachable you really are. I don't know how willing you are to go to work, to be at the briefings, no matter what the weather and all of that. I don't know that really about you when I look at you. You know, those are internal predictors of your success. But there is one external predictor of your success. And that is, number one, being at the convention. And number two, how many people do you have on your team at the convention? That is a distinct predictor of your success. I mean, many of the platinums in the company say for every associate that you have on your team at a big event, you can predict about $1,000 in annual income. If you have 20 associates there, you can predictably be earning around $20,000 in annual income. 100 associates, six figures. Now, you know, that's not an exact formula, but I will tell you, it is close. It is right on. I mean, when we started getting over 100 people at the events, we did that the first year, and we earned $166,000 part-time our first year. It was incredible. So all that to say, if you haven't decided to go, figure out a way. And if it's difficult to go, that's okay. I want you to know that even if you have challenges getting, like, what to do with the children, how to get time off work, the cost involved, all those factors I know are challenges for people. But here's what I do know. When you don't let those challenges get in your way of doing what you know you need to do to build your business, when you figure out a solution for them, you are empowered. When you get to the event having overcome those challenges, you are going to get more out of the event than anybody else. And I hope you have a few challenges getting there, and I hope you get there in spite of those, because I know the result is going to be phenomenal. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Frank so he can give you some pearls of wisdom. Go ahead, Frank.
Risa, great job. You did a wonderful job. I think I can just shut up and don't do anything. Ken, do you want me to go on and do some more stuff? We got enough time here?
Well, actually, she's a superstar in her own right, but of course we want to hear from you, Frank. But that lady is not only a superstar in looks, she's a superstar in knowledge. She's a very great lady, and I have so much respect for her. And you're such a lucky man, as I am with my wife, Frank, so we better remember that, right?
I got that blessing every day.
I started coming home early at night, so. Go ahead, Frank.
Never leave. Anyway, good job, Teresa, and I want to just echo what Teresa said. What an honor and a privilege it is, you know, just to be asked by the Moore family to be on this call, because, you know, they were some of the first heroes we ever saw in the business. And I'll just take a stab at Ken here. And the minute I saw him on stage, I knew we could build a big business, because I just looked at him and said, well, he can do this thing. I know I can do this thing. So I'm just getting back at you, Ken.
Well, that's okay, Frank. I went out to Hollywood last year before Wilbur Smith passed away, stayed 2 days and didn't get a contract, so I understand.
Yeah, Donald Trump hired you. I know that. Lord. Anyway, let me just do a little thing. I want to just echo what Teresa said about attitude. I'm not going to stay on this too long, but, you know, people want to do business with people who, you know, are alarming instead of, you know, they're charming instead of alarming. You know, some people, you know, they say they want to do the business, and you say, well, are you excited about the business? Are you happy? And they go, yeah, and say, well, you ought to let your face know it, because you sure don't look like you're excited. So I think that attitude thing is an enormous part of the business. People just want to be around people who are friendly and nice and, you know, have good character, good ethics, good morals, good vision, good temperament, and that sort of stuff. So, you know, I think all that really does come from the associations, and not only associations at work, but church and home and with your friends and family, and just try to be around nice people and try not to listen too much to that mess. Another thing that Teresa said, and I'm going to get my turn in a minute, but I think what she said about going to the convention and big decisions are made, you know, at big events. And one of the reasons that happens, and happens to everybody that goes there, you know, a lot of times we prejudge people until we get to the convention. And then all of a sudden you see a single mom that's, you know, made $1 million, or you see a pastor that's made $1 million, or you see a handicapped person that's doing this business, or you see a white or a black or Hispanic or an Asian or an educated or non-educated person, and you say, you know, I shouldn't be judging anybody. Because you never know when that person is going to come into business, and whether they do the business or not, you know, they're going to lead you to somebody, which means that they both could do good, the person that you didn't think was going to do good and the person they brought in here. So, you know, the convention is where you really gain a belief that there's nowhere possible to gain it except the convention. So I'm going to just echo by saying, you know, I really think that the big conventions is a big thing. No matter how many people you have to get in a car, a truck, a plane, a bus, just get there somehow. In 72 hours, that'll change the next 30 years of your life. So I just think Teresa's right dead on spot with that. I want to talk about maybe a different way to look at your business, because when, you know, when we looked at Legal Shield, we already had a very successful business, and Teresa and I have been in business literally almost 40 years. I mean, I'll be 70 this year, and Teresa will be 20. Teresa, I hope you're listening. And, you know, we started our business the year we got married, and we've been in business ever since then. You know, we've owned a number of businesses, and there's some, and most of them, I'd say, have been very successful. The one we have now has done over, you know, probably $100-something million. The other one's done over $100-something million. And so when we looked at Legal Shield, you know, it wasn't what, if we knew how to judge a business or not. There's some bedrock principles that I always test a business by. I always look at the business model, the template they've got. And so I want to give you some information to make you appreciate the business you've got, I believe. The business model is what brought us here. We didn't need to come here for finances. And we're still part-time with the business. I just want everybody to know on the phone that you can work this business part-time and keep doing what you're doing. If you ever want to go full-time, fine. But Teresa and I are part-time. We've got as far as Platinum 4 part-time, and we stay between Gold and Platinum 3 probably, somewhere in there every month. We've made, I think we're working on our $4 million right now. And we're still part-time. We still own our chain of stores. We still have our real estate business. We still have other investments going. But we're part-time, and we have a wonderful organization. And the reason is because of what I'm getting ready to tell you. Anybody can build this business part-time or full-time into the millions of dollars. And it can create a lifetime of income. And so here's what I looked at when we came here. And I do this for every business venture I look at. And I wanted to know about the business model. And I'll just tell y'all, if you're on the phone and you've got a pencil and piece of paper, you may want to just jot this down. Just draw a little four boxes across your page. Just draw four small boxes across the page. And there's four parts I always look at. And the first one I look at, you can write sales and marketing in that first box. And in this second box, write product and service. And in the third box, just draw a dollar sign. And in the fourth box, just put expansion. So in the first box is sales and marketing, product and service, a dollar sign, and then expansion. When I look at any business, that's the model I look at to see if it's in place. If that's not in place, I don't touch it. I don't go anywhere near it. What I want to know is who has to do the sales and marketing, who has to deliver the product or service, who collects the money, and is there room for expansion? And when I saw Legal Shield, I almost passed out, because there's very few businesses that already have that in place that you can, if you start your own business, you've got to put all that in place. You've got to design the system for sales and marketing, delivering the product, service, collecting the money, and the expansion. But when we came here, and Teresa and I looked at these four things, I said, Teresa, listen, this is like going to heaven without dying, because you know, we can come in here and do all the sales and marketing and make an incredible living if we want to. There's people in this company that's making $50,000, $100,000, $150,000, $200,000 a year just marketing that product. And so if that's what we want to do, we can do it. And we don't have to deliver the service, so that's gone. We don't have to collect the money. That's gone. And they've already got the expansion set up so that if we want to recruit somebody in California, we could just recruit them and somebody else out there trains them. So let me go through this again. The first box is sales and marketing. The next box is products and services. The next box is collecting money. And the next box is expansion. So when I sat down with someone like John Gardner, or any businessman that I sit down with, because, you know, I was recruiting business people, insurance agents, financial planners, CPAs, accountants, single moms, teachers, preachers, entrepreneurs, retired people, and I would sit down and say, listen, let me show you something. And I draw those four boxes. I say, listen, do you like sales and marketing? They go, no. I say, okay, you don't have to do all the sales and marketing here. It'd be good if you go out and you market your memberships. You can make some money, but you can also staff your company with people. And when I came here, I told Teresa, I said, you know, I'm 58 years old. We're starting a business. I cannot do all the sales and marketing by myself to make the amount of money I want to make. So why don't we staff our prepaid legal business with people? And I was raised by a single parent, so I said, well, I'll recruit some single parents, and they'll go sign up all the other single parents. So we recruited a bunch of single parents. And then let's bring on some pastors, and they can go out and sign up all the people in their church that need this service. And so we recruited a lot of pastors. And then we brought on some insurance agents, some financial planners, some CPAs, some accountants, some teachers. We brought on just some crazy entrepreneurs. So underneath, you know, sales and marketing, just write insurance agent, financial planner, CPA, accountant, teacher, preacher, college student. I started targeting people to help me do the sales and marketing. And I knew that, you know, all I had to do was bring them into business, and then, you know, a regional manager would get them trained. And then what would happen is that, yeah, the law firm would deliver the service. So underneath that product and service, just, you know, who delivers the product and service? The law firm does. So I knew they did. Just put the law firm under it. And the company collected the money. So, you know, I had a whole team moving memberships. I had the law firm delivering a service. I had the company collecting the money. And it was like going to heaven without dying. I mean, like Teresa said, our first year, we made $166,000, and we were doing it part-time. You know, when we first got in this industry, we were opening 25 brand new stores of our own chain of stores, and I didn't have time to even try to deliver service. I'm not an attorney. I didn't want to collect the money, and I knew I could not, under any conditions, do all the sales and marketing. So you don't have to do all that stuff. You know, if you like to do sales and marketing, then do it. If you don't like to do it, then staff it for people to do it. And the expansion part was this. I knew that if I wanted to, I could find somebody in Ada, Oklahoma, someone like the Moores, and send them something. And if they liked what they saw, I could bring them on board. And there was actually a trainer in Ada to train them for me, and I didn't have to train them. And I said to Teresa, I said, all we've got to do is find somebody in every state, you know, bring them on board, and, you know, they'll build a small team of people around them, and then they'll have a small team of consumers around them. And it goes back to, you know, how money's made. All you got to do is build micro producer groups that have micro consumer groups, and you can make macro money. Now, here's what that means. If I can build a team of 10 or 12 people in this little city, and another team of 10 or 20 people over here, and another team of 10 or 20 over here, and another team of 10 or 15 down here, all those little micro producers that have those little micro consumer groups around them, pretty soon you're making macro money, and you cannot stop that. We brought on two guys here in Charlotte. I brought on a guy, he brought on somebody, and that guy brought on John and Elizabeth Gardner. Now, that was a little micro producer group, a little micro consumer group. But John Gardner has grown now into about 26,000 associates himself, just John Gardner. So from that one little micro producer group, with their little micro-consumer group, you know, we ended up with like 4 millionaires in that one leg. So I want you to picture this. You're staffing your company with single moms and teachers and preachers and insurance agents and financial planners and crazy entrepreneurs and retired people and young and old, and they're just each little micro-producer groups that have little micro-consumer groups that they're moving the service to. But when you add those up, it will give you macro money. And here's the way I look at this thing. If you said to me, what is the one concept that you want to build here? we wanted to build a financial wall around us that nothing could penetrate, so that if I got sick, and I know Ken Moore's gotten sick, and he's gone in the hospital, and if he had any other job, he'd be gone. But because he had all those little micro producers, with little micro consumer groups all over the nation, his income never stopped. And if in one day Teresa will lose me, one day the Moores will lose some of the Moore family, but the families will keep getting fed because of those little micro producers and micro consumer groups. So never, you know, never lose sight of that one or two people in an area can build to five or six people, then 10 or 15 people, and one of those can take off like a scalded dog. I mean, you've got Scott Chapin's on our team, you know, Rodney Somerville, and I can go on and on and on, but y'all know some of the names. And it all started, I'm telling you, with recruiting that first, you know, single mom, teacher, preacher, insurance agent, financial planner, CPA, accountant, and understanding this one thing right here. If you don't have to do all the sales and marketing, and you never have to deliver service, and you don't have to collect the money, and you can expand your business by bringing anybody on in any state in four provinces of Canada, and you don't have to go there to train them, it's like going to heaven without dying. So I call it the ELF business. That's E-L-F, ELF. Like, it's easy, lucrative, and fun. And there's back-end money, not just for now, but for generations to come. So, Ken, I'll turn it back over to you, and if you want me to do something else, I will.
You know, Frank, I wanted so much for people to hear you and your wife tonight because you bring so much enthusiasm, but you also bring so much business knowledge. I like the fact that you told the people about running your other business, but you could still work this time, and absolutely, you set up a perfect scenario that anyone can work, anybody can do, some to greater depths than others, but anyone that will put that in effect, go out there and willing to work, absolutely will be successful. Some will be more successful than others. We know that, but that's just the way it works. But you guys have always been so great to help us. I hope someday, in some small way, that I can repay you for being the friend that you have been to us. We appreciate it very much, and I'm going to let Randy say something. But, you know, you're talking about that. You know, back in about 1987, I recruited a guy that recruited a guy that recruited a guy that recruited Linda Bowden. Now, what happened to the first three levels, I don't know, but Linda Bowden's been on my team 25 years now, still producing every week, still making me money every week. You think it might have been worth my time to spend a little time training Linda Bowden?
See, I got to ask you a question. I never have asked you this before. How old were you when you started your legal field business?
47 years old.
See, I was 58. Do you know at 58 you can't get a job at Walmart?
I was just turning 48, so you're right. Once you pass the 40 mark, you start getting. I don't know if I'd qualify for Walmart, but I sure can qualify for this because all I got to do is take the message to the people, tell the truth, go out there and quit trying to be a cotton-picking salesman and be a problem solver and sit down with those people and help them solve their problem, and, you know, the rest will take care of itself.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to turn it to Randy, and thank you again, Frank. Thank you, Teresa. We love you guys. We're looking forward to seeing you at the convention. And by the way, what do you think? We had all these patents in Oklahoma, and we decided we wanted to give something back. So we thought, well, you know, the home office, let us have the office, no charge. We would just have a day that the patents in Oklahoma would get together, and anybody that wanted to come from around the state or anything else, we'd tell them what we got, give them a few tips. And I told someone today, if you get one tip in the whole day, it helps you be one more success, it's going to be worth your time. And not often can you get seven platinums together, and they're all giving their own free time, no expense to bring them in, not even buying their lunch, although if I get a chance for a cup of coffee, I'm going to take it. But other than that, I think it's a good deal, don't you, Frank?
Listen, I'll tell you one thing. Just one tip could recruit you another Ken Moore.
All right, Frank.
One tip.
Lisa. But listen, we're going to
be I want to say, Matt, may we drop in on your party Thursday night?
You can drop in any place, any time. We have anything.
Okay, that sounds great. And we want to invite you and your team. We will. And we want to invite you and your team. We're having a party at the Sheraton on Friday night after everything from 9 to 1, and, whenever it breaks. And we are actually going to be putting together a fundraiser for the Nikki Stonecipher Scholarship Foundation, where everybody's going to donate $5 at the door. And we're going to take the net proceeds to donate to the foundation. So we're excited about that. We've got a live DJ, big dance floor, and all the works, too. So we'll have two parties, yours and ours.
And you guys come in next time, we'll be able to show you where the new memorial center that Harlan's building, so anybody in South Children can put a memorial in. We'll show you where that's going to be. You should come in way up on a mountain up there. He's going to build it. It's going to be wonderful. Our church has got 10 acres up there, and then we got this for the memorial center, and it's going to be a great thing. It's going to be like a park. The whole thing's going to be a park.
Wow, that's so awesome.
You said Nikki's on it. There'll be a statue of Nikki, her husband, their daughter, and the little dog.
Wow, that's going to be awesome.
Well, thank you very much. Randy?
We want to donate to it. We want to give some money to it. That's the reason we're charging everybody $5 at the door.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. and Mrs. Coyne, this is Randy, and we have the utmost respect for you and your family and how you run your team, and we just really look forward to seeing you guys in Oklahoma City. You'll be here really quick. But, again, thank you so much for spending your valuable time helping us out on our call. I know it's not your team, but we feel like we're all in this together, actually, and we appreciate you so very much.
Well,
our honor.
It's a blessing to be here.
All right.
Thank you. To your whole team, I want all of them to know they've got a bright, bright future here. It's never been any better, I'll tell you right now, than it is right now.
The best days are yet to come.
That's right. All right, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you very much. Mr. Moore, back to you.
Okay. Well, folks, you've heard it. I think you've been glad you got on the call tonight. I don't know. I'm glad I got on the call to listen all over again. But I want to say, let's do this. Let's keep putting God first, our family second, legal shield third, treat each other the way we want to be treated. God bless you and good night.
Good night, everyone.